The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Ibrahim Kwarteng. In the headlines, chief executives of NHIA, NPRA and NIA relieved of posts. Minister of Environment, Science, Technology and Innovation calls for measures to protect country's coastline from decline. Institute of Economic Affairs proposes establishment of independent fiscal policy council to assess and monitor budgets. General Secretary of NPP says loss of senior parliamentarians in primaries will not affect party in parliament. Transport Union missed today to review fares. University of Ghana lecturer referred to Privileges Committee of Parliament for allegedly making unsavory remarks about the legislature. And Hong Kong's government set to present controversial reform package ahead of much anticipated vote. But first, the summary with Rosalind Gangagulu.
The Minister of Environment, Science, Technology and Innovation, Mahama Yariga, is advocating stronger measures to protect the country's coastline against threats such as high sea levels and erosion. Opening a three-day integrated coastal zone management meeting in Accra, Mr. Yariga said pragmatic steps are urgently needed to reverse the trend. The General Secretary of the GPRTU, Stephen Okudzeto, says the increase in petroleum prices has come as a surprise because they were not involved in the negotiation process. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Mr. Okudzeto said the union will meet today to determine the way forward. A lecturer at the University of Ghana, Professor Alex Dodu, has been summoned before the Privileges Committee of Parliament for allegedly bringing the image of Parliament into disrepute. He is alleged to have made unsavory comments about members of parliament on a private radio station in Accra over their concerns on the planned Ebola vaccine trial. And the government of Hong Kong is set to present a controversial political reform package ahead of a much anticipated vote later this week. The package will, for the first time, give citizens the right to vote for their chief executive in 2017. Candidates will, however, be vetted by a pro-Beijing committee.
BBC mastering the airwaves with nothing but quality news and programming.
The news now in detail. The Minister of Environment, Science, Technology and Innovation, Mahama Yariga, has called for stronger measures to protect the coastline of countries against threats such as high sea levels and erosion. Mr. Yariga said the influx of massive floating mass of harmful seaweeds poses danger not only to the ecosystem but the economic well-being of the people. Speaking at the opening of a three-day coastal zone management meeting in Accra, Mr. Yariga said most countries have the strategic access along the coast, and should there be any tidal threat, development will be affected. He therefore called for pragmatic steps to reverse the trend. Cecilia Beacon has more.
Experts have been warning of the threat posed to marine and coastal environments by rising sea level erosion and loss of potential tourism attraction. The control of these threats has become a major goal for African countries. Human activities are also responsible for the disruption of the natural system of most littoral countries. The Minister of Environment, Science, Technology and Innovation, Mahama Yariga, said a greater number of people have moved to the coastal areas since most industries are located there.
Not less than 30% of the population of Ghana lives within 100 kilometers of the coastline. And Ghana's most strategic assets are there, from our airports to our ports and harbors to every major industry that is in Ghana is either located in Tema or Accra or Takoradi or Sekendi, and all these major cities all lie within 100 kilometers of the coastline. And most of the population has moved to these coastal cities. Of course, Kumasi is the exception, which is still one of the biggest cities in Ghana and also houses extreme climate population. Most of our people are moving closer and closer to the coastline. And from the analysis in terms of demographic projections, in the next few years, we probably have no less than 40% of our entire population living along the coastline, unless our development strategy arrests the situation and keep a lot more people in the regions of their origin, and or get a lot of people along the coast to move back into the other regions.
On the management of coastal areas, this is what the minister had to say.
Management of coastal areas become an imperative. So many different institutions and agencies, we need to define an approach that clearly arrests the lack of coordination. You have local authorities, you have traditional rulers, you have private sector operators, and you have the different ministries and agencies, everybody trying to do something, but in the process we are acting in very uncoordinated ways and further exacerbating the situation. If you just take Ghana and you drive along the coast, you find out the houses very close to the sea are most of the poorest sections. And so the true responsibility of managing poverty at the same time of managing a natural environment have found common grounds as the basis for us really having to act.
That was the Minister of Environment, Science, Technology and Innovation, Mahama Yaraga, in that report by Cecilia Beko. Ghana's forest cover faces extension the next few years if strict action is not taken to reverse illegal logging and trading timber products. The situation does not only pose a danger to the economy, but more importantly to future generations. It is against this backdrop that stakeholders in the industry are clamoring for a policy that will address the menace. At the close of a workshop for procurement officers in Accra, participants were unanimous in their call to the speedy passage of a law to forestall these challenges. Ibrahim Donko has the details.
In its quest to support government efforts towards halting the illegal logging and trading in timber products, the Nature and Development Foundation, an environmental NGO with financial support from the Food and Agriculture Organization, initiated a project called Supporting the Implementation of the Public Procurement Policy on Timber and its Products in Ghana. The main objective of the project is to enhance the effective implementation of the public procurement policy on timber and its products through the development of implementation guidelines, capacity development of regional public procurement officers, among others. After organizing a number of workshops for these officers, the Nature and Development Foundation organized a closeout session which sought to identify the accomplishments of the project as well as opportunities to support and partner government for effective implementation of the policy. The director of Nature and Development Foundation, Mustafa Seydu, elaborates on the benefits to be accrued from the project.
Because this is very important for government, because government is going to use this process as a signal to the market that it will no longer support illegal timber, use public money to purchase illegal timber. It's good for those of us who are consumers, because when this policy is out, it means that there will be legal timber available in the market, and therefore we have a choice whether to buy illegal wood or legal wood. As it is now, you buy what you get. Forest is such that if it degrades to a certain level, it can't recover. It's just like you human being, when you get sick at a point, you can't recover. So this policy is to reduce the amount of illegal timber such that we can maintain the forest integrity.
Speaking to Radio Ghana, the technical director of the Forestry Commission, Musa Abu-Juam, was optimistic that cabinet will within a year consider a draft document to ensure the speedy passage of a bill.
Once we get approval, all the monitoring infrastructure will also be put in place. For example, we started training tender entity members, procurement teams in the various MMDAs. And once that is done, the Forestry Commission will be implemented to set up a motion to try and pull up what is happening. We talked to all those who be affected and also those who be implementing the programs. We are in a position to answer the questions that may concern cabinet. I cannot put a definite date. We will present it to cabinet, but we're hoping that within the year we should get.
That was Ibrahim Dolko's report. And lecturer at the University of Ghana, Professor Alex Zodin, is to be summoned before the Privileges Committee of Parliament for allegedly bringing the image of Parliament into disrepute. The majority leader, Alban Bachmann, requested the speaker to summon the professor to the committee due to what he describes as unsavory comments he made about members of Parliament on a private radio station in Accra over their concerns on the planned Ebola vaccine trial.
In fact, Professor Alexandru questioned the authority of the minister to suspend the exercise. And then he said, what right has the minister got? Please, Professor, government today is different from the government that is taught in school. People must get that. It's very different. The fact that, I'm sure you know the law well, but even if you write the act that we passed, you have seen the supervisory authority of the minister. He took it upon himself to be the final authority on the law and on the science, and then went on to pontificate and to condemn this house. In fact, that he doesn't know that the authority with which he has now, and that the freedom to come on air and articulate, is because Parliament is the bastion of democracy.
Yes.
In the absence of Parliament, he, Professor Alexandru, will not have that gap to go on air and say what he has said. I will not want to say that he is ignorant. I can only say he lacks information. Well, he kept on saying that we were ignorant people. The speaker, Parliament, led by your bishop, will bring him before the committee and then try as much as possible to get him to understand what we do here, and through him, make him a worthy ambassador to carry the message to other Ghanaians.
That was Majority Leader Alban Bagben. The MP for Manchester South, Matthew Opoku-Prempe, supported the application by the Majority Leader.
We should be all involved of the country to help Tai Fu. But the way that somebody who claims to know will go on there and be the great Parliament, I think he knows more than anybody in this country. I think he has to be brought, because Alexo has to be summoned by the Privileges Committee to let them directly to inform us if he thinks he knows more than anybody, so that we can be comforted there. He's not here, so I'll leave his matter aside. But I'll claim the authority that he's given instructions to Mr. Alexo, who we all know was appointed at the time to be the chairman of the board of NDA, and we don't know what happened. Which you all know a lot of things. We cannot confront him at the Privileges Committee, so that if we all mind our speech outside the speaker, I want to put on record that even in the United States of America, a purely economic transaction was stopped by the House of Congress. Just the White House decided to buy New York Port. That was a pure commercial economic reason. That means freedom of security is not the interest of the U.S. Even if they are going to do a transaction,
MP for Manchester South, Matthew Opoku-Prempe. The speaker did not take the utterances of the university lecturer lightly. He said he's been hesitant in referring matters to the Privileges Committee, but the learned professor had gone overboard.
The Ghana Academy of Arts and Sciences wishes to state its firm position that subject to satisfactory answer to the issue it has raised, the number of issues have been raised in the statement, and consume the gap in our knowledge and state of preparedness, it will be unsafe to undertake the proposed ECG vaccine clinical trials in Ghana. These are fellows of the Ghana Academy of Arts and Sciences. And then Professor Dodu is telling this house that we are ignorant. We should go and challenge his professor. All members have been invited to refer this matter to the Privileges Committee. I have been very slow since I became a speaker to refer matters to the Privileges Committee. I have listened to the other members on the floor on this matter, and I think that I will exercise my discretion in favor of the call to refer Professor Dodu to the Privileges Committee. I'm doing so because I've carefully listened to the Minister for Health, and some of the issues that he raised are not different from the issues that the members raised on the floor of the House.
That was Speaker of Parliament Edward Duejau. The Minister of Health, Alex Sedefia, says government will be rolling out an education program this week on the clinical trial of the Ebola vaccine. He said following public outcry against the planned vaccine trial, the ministry thought it imperative to provide a platform for the public to interact with professionals on the clinical trials. Mr. Sedefia said this in a statement in Parliament. He said the trial has not started anywhere in Ghana yet, neither has anyone been recruited for such proposed trials. Dominic Hologi and Augustus Akwe have more.
The Speaker of Parliament, Edward Duajaho, last week summoned the Minister of Health, Alex Sedefia, on the instance of the Volta Caucus in Parliament that, in a statement, raised concerns on the intended trial of an Ebola vaccine at Hohoi. Mr. Sedefia said the WHO notified the country last year that Ghana was part of four West African countries where pharmaceutical giants GlaxoSmithKline and Janssen, a subsidiary of Johnson & Johnson, will perform clinical trials on a candidate vaccine for Ebola.
For the avoidance of doubt, this vaccine does not contain the Ebola virus and therefore cannot cause the Ebola disease. The rationale for conducting the trial in Ghana before other countries takes into consideration the fact that these countries border the affected countries. The design of the phase 2 trial will be such that in the event of an outbreak, persons already vaccinated would be already protected.
He said governments will ensure that Ghanaians are protected from any harm resulting from the trial.
Let me state categorically that the trial has not started anywhere in Ghana. Let me also say that we have not even given any approval for the importation of any such vaccine. And let me further state that no volunteer gets Indeed, the selection of volunteers in itself is a very rigorous process with a long drawn-out protocol and safeguard. The Ministry of Health, under my leadership, will do what is right. We will do what has to be done to make sure that the good people of Ghana are protected. We will do what is right to ensure that in the medium and long term, Ghanaians are safe from emerging diseases such as Ebola.
The Speaker of Parliament, Edward Duajaho, re-echoed the concerns of the Ghana Academy of Arts and Sciences on the issue. He tasked the minister to work with the Select Committee on Health on the concerns raised and report to the House in 3 weeks.
Dominic Hologi and Augustus Akwe with that report. And still on health, the Ghana Medical Association says it does not see the ultimatum given to government on its intended strike as a threat by the reality. Deputy President of the Association, Dr. Justice Yamson, said the association has given government ample time to address its concerns. Speaking on Behind the News, Dr. Yamson said members of the association are prepared to leave the health facilities for government to run them as it desires if their concerns are not addressed before the deadline. PR of the Health Ministry, Tony Goodman, said the ministry is working on the grievances of the doctors. He's optimistic it will meet the deadline. The Winneba Trauma and Medical Hospital is to be affiliated to the Cape Coast Regional Hospital to ensure maximum effectiveness. The Minister of Health, Alex Sedefia, told Parliament that although staffing at the hospital has been a challenge for some time now, the ministry has plans to ensure enough specialists are posted to the medical center. He said this in an answer to a question on resourcing of the hospital with requisite personnel, which stood in the name of the MP for Efutu, Alex Afenyomakem.
The siting of the hospital at Winneba was to strategically provide emergency services to victims of road traffic accidents along the newly constructed Accra Cape Coast segment of the Trans-ECOWAS Highway. The hospital currently has an orthopedic surgeon and a pediatrician. There were two obstetrician gynecologists there as well that left last year to do fellowship training in Kolobo. The Director General of the Ghana Health Service has identified one of the newly qualified surgeons from the College of Physicians and Surgeons to be posted to the Winneba Trauma Hospital. Additionally, plans are actually far advanced to affiliate the trauma hospital to the Cape Coast Teaching Hospital.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. Minister of Environment, Science, Technology and Innovation calls for measures to protect country's coastline from decline. Institute of Economic Affairs proposes establishment of independent fiscal policy council to assess and monitor budgets. General Secretary of NPP says loss of senior parliamentarians in primaries will not affect party in parliament. Transport Union meets today to review fares. University of Ghana lecturer referred to Privileges Committee of Parliament for allegedly making unsavory remarks about the legislature. And chief executives of NHIA, NPRA, and NIA relieved of post. We are back after the break. The chief executives of the National Health Insurance Authority, NHIA, National Pensions Regulatory Authority, NPRA, and the National Identification Authority, NIA, have been relieved of their posts. President John Mahama announced at the Stakeholders Forum on the Single Spine in Kufuria recently that non-performing public officials will be removed and others reshuffled. The chief executive of NHIA, Sylvester Mensah, has been replaced with Kwame Griffiths and a former member of the Brazil World Cup Committee of Inquiry, Kofi Anochi Osu-Dakon, takes over from Lord Senanu at the National Pensions Regulatory Authority. They'll be acting in their new positions for now. The Member of Parliament for Ningu Pram-Pram, E.T. Mensah, is worried over the attrition rate in Ghana's parliament. He says the high attrition rate is not helping the growth of parliament as an institution. He was particular about the huge loss of members in the just-ended NPP primaries, when more than 20 certain MPs were booted out by delegates. According to him, what has happened to the NPP is not good enough for a house that needs more experienced hands to conduct serious business on behalf of Ghanaians, as mandated by the Constitution. Mr. Mensah is also chairman of the Greater Accra NDC Caucus in Parliament. In an interview with Radio Ghana, said the necessary lessons have been learned from the NPP primaries.
These are lessons that all of us must learn. The attrition in Parliament is not helping the growth of Parliament. So high, if you have been following, I can pull out all the detailed information and we can continue the conversation tomorrow. It doesn't happen anywhere. About a month ago, we went to IPU and the people who were there, who have been following 33 years and so on and so forth, and all these things about Vision Kobe, that is not what it should be. Look at the people that we've lost. It's not because of it, it's because they want to serve their nations.
He, however, dismissed rumors making rounds that he is resigning from Parliament. It has been speculated and reported in the media that a five-term MP will not contest for Parliament in 2016, but he debunked the claims, describing them as mere speculation.
I'm running 2016. It's part of the mischief. Go to the ground. The people know I'm going. I've told them I'm going. The politics that we are, is not homemade. What we're running is a hybrid. We copy from America and Great Britain. And in that kind of politics, America, because of the two terms that you have, you need experience. You can have be a professor emeritus in politics. When you come here, you start from basis. So there's no time frame. We have time frame for the presidency. We have time frame for just that. There's no time frame. As long as God gives you strength and you think that you can continue to help your people, you do it. See, when this rumor started, senior people entered in the place of court and said, hey, you can't do that. Who are the people? This boy who came here today, what does he know? And he's making so much noise, misusing the media platform. I don't want to glorify what is doing.
That was MP for Ningo Pram-Pram, E.T. Mensah. The NPP says its affirmative action policy, which was to get more women to contest the 2016 parliamentary election, was fruitful. Last Saturday's election saw 21 women elected and two incumbents losing their seats. Speaking at a news conference in Accra, General Secretary of the party, Kwabena Japon, said most of the candidates who won the primaries are below the age of 35. This, he said, is a sign that the party is attractive to the youth. He asked losers of the primaries to work with the victors to win the 2016 election.
We also congratulate the winners of the contest, urge them to extend a hand to everybody and close ranks for our party. To those who were unsuccessful, we thank them very much for the role they played and urge them to still dedicate themselves as true patriots of our party to work together with our chosen parliamentary candidates to achieve our main goal of victory 2016. In fact, those with genuine grievances should present their cases to the party secretariat for redress, and they should desist from engaging in recrimination, counter-accusations, especially in the media. It is noteworthy to acknowledge that 21 women emerged victorious, whilst unfortunately we lost this female incumbent in the process. So in fact, affirmative action has worked. It's encouraged a lot more women to file in the process, and it is evidenced by the amount of victors we have seen on Saturday. We are also happy to report that a significant amount of winners of the contest were below the ages of 35, which goes to affirm that the party MPP remains an attractive destination for the youth of our country. And that bodes well for the future, both of our political tradition and the country as a whole.
Mr. Japon is of the view that the fact that senior parliamentarians lost will not affect the party in parliament.
Our virtues and our values are very clear to all. We are eternal Democrats. We believe that it is the grassroots who decide who represent, and that all of us should respect the verdict of the majority of our people. I don't think we are in the habit of determining for them who they should choose as the candidates. They are on the ground. They are in touch with the masses. They can feel the pulse of the Ghanaian, and therefore they are best positioned to decide who represents the party's chances in the upcoming elections. And I think we should leave it at that and respect them for the decisions that they have taken. In fact, to the contrary, I think that historical watchers should recognize that every political party, as we go along, should become like a production line. And I do believe this huge amount of youthful people who are now going to be the bedrock of the party for the next 20, 30 years, it bodes well for the future of our political tradition. It's a way of regenerating our human stock.
That was the General Secretary of the MPP, Kwabena Ejiatom. The Institute of Economic Affairs has called for the establishment of an independent fiscal policy council to provide assessment and monitoring of the budget. A senior economist of the Institute, Dr. John Kwachi, believes the policy will be effective if backed by law. This will also help to entrain the much-needed fiscal discipline by government. He was speaking at a forum on public financial management in Accra, a report by Yvonne Asariofe. Now moving on, the Oil Retailers Association says they have no problem with the deregulation of petroleum products. President of the association, Commodore Mensah, on Behind the News, said the move is a necessary evil because the price of crude has increased on the international market, and that influenced the decision. He told Agatha Asamoah that the association will sit back and allow the bulk distribution companies to fix the prices.
We don't have an issue. Our only concern is that we should not be shortchanged when it comes to issue of our margins. That is all we have to say on this.
Well, so you don't have any problem at all with the 4% increase in petroleum products?
Now, I think it's a necessity that we must all look at realistically. For as long as the price of crude increases on the world market, for as long as the city weakens, we'll have no choice but to take some of these hard decisions. Because the point is, if you buy the product hypothetically at $10.
The General Secretary of the GPRTU, Stephen Okujetu, for his part, said the current increase of petroleum prices has come as a surprise because they were not involved in the negotiation process. So the union will meet today to deliberate on the increase and act accordingly.
Very unfortunate. You sprinkle another surprise on us again. We are not informed.
We are not informing. We are not expecting the 4% increase.
Not at all. So it came as a surprise to all of us again.
Yeah. So for now, what complaints are you receiving from your members?
A transport fare increase, which is in the pipeline. And if you can use your medium to either emphasize patient, negotiations are ongoing. We hope that we'll come out with a new transfer fare increase.
That was the General Secretary of the GPRT, Stephen Okujetu. Despite the current economic challenges, Ghana is ranked among 10 fastest-growing economies in the world. This came up at the signing of a memorandum of understanding between Ghana and the U.S. in relation to civil aviation safety. The U.S. intends to undertake activities aimed at improving aviation training capacity in the country. The Minister of Transport, Jifa Atifo, who initialed on behalf of government, said subject to availability of funds, the two countries have other things to continue the training program, with the U.S. providing technical assistance to the Ghana Civil Aviation Training Academy. The U.S. Secretary of Transport, Anthony Fox, signed on behalf of his government. Mr. Fox is leading a 14th on a multi-sector mission to sub-Saharan Africa. The government of Hong Kong is set to present a controversial political reform package ahead of a much-anticipated vote later this week. The package will, for the first time, give citizens the right to vote for their chief executive in 2017. And now to end the news, a look at some of the stories that made the headlines. The chief executives of the National Health Insurance Authority, NHIA, National Pensions Regulatory Authority, NPRA, and the National Identification Authority, NIA, have been relieved of their post. President John Mahama announced at the stakeholders' forum of the Single Spine in Kofodia recently that non-performing public officials will be removed and others reshuffled. The Minister of Environment, Science, Technology and Innovation, Mahama Yarriga, is advocating stronger measures to protect the country's coastline against threats. The General Secretary of the GPRTU, Stephen Okujato, says the increase in petroleum prices has come as a surprise because they were not involved in the negotiation process. A lecturer at the University of Ghana, Professor Alex Dodu, has been summoned before the Privileges Committee of Parliament for allegedly bringing the image of Parliament into disrepute. And the government of Hong Kong is set to present a controversial political reform package ahead of a much-anticipated vote later this week. The news was presented by Ibrahim Kwarteng in Accra.